Let's go, ladies.
Here's another one.
To all the ladies out there today.
Little Kim, the queen bee.
Let's go.
It's ladies night, what? It must be Angie on the mic. The butter pea, honey, got the sugar, got the spice. Roll the L tight, keep the rhymes right. Yo, I just made this motherfucker up last night. And I'm the rookie on this all-star team. Me and Kim is getting cream, like Thelma and Louise, but on chrome. Never leave that Brooklyn shit alone. So if you say it's on, then it's on.
It's on.
Bang this in your whips.
Yeah.
Pack them Cody Rhodey with the chips in the wrist. Here's a French kiss.
Back at ya.
Spit six from the fourth, fifth, make it dance.
Ow!
I stay focused and the dopest, like a penny with the hole in it. Y'all just hopeless and topless. I ain't lying. Trying to knock me off, keep trying. All it takes is one phone call to my street team. Promote that ass like a soundtrack, you jack. Sit there, send it off with the 850. Y'all missing the buck with the bump, Biggie in the truck.
Yeah.
The buck to my double. Let me see you do the bank head if you're riches. It's the rap, made West, the QB. And I got all my sisters.
Sing, ladies. Ooh, what a night. All right, all right. Had to get the great energy, great vibes in here for this podcast. But you know how we always get it started. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 4, 2, 3. It is all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Ken, and welcome to episode number 69 of the Ken's Corner Podcast. And as always, I am thoroughly grateful and appreciative of all the support worldwide that I'm given. Thank you so much, because without you, there would be no me. So as always, wherever you consume your podcast entertainment, please make sure that you subscribe. Please make sure that you download, stream, continue those streams. The numbers, need the numbers, I ain't gonna lie, need the numbers to escalate a little bit more. I do, because I am shopping this podcast around to get paid. Just gonna keep it a bean, let you know what I'm trying to do, but I always want to give you quality content. But when the podcast is released, please make sure you follow me on all of my social media, which is Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And please make sure you like, share, retweet, and as always, tell four people and rate me. So rate me. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know if I'm doing a good job, bad job. Just let me know what I'm out here doing. And you can also interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co, and that's www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. When you try your best to do everything in one breath, sometimes you make a mistake. So let's see what's going on here in the neighborhood that we can speak about here on the corner. I want to first and foremost apologize for being late on the release of the podcast. Had some things I had to get together mentally and emotionally, which some of that I'm going to share with you right now. This past weekend, I was finally able to have the memorial service for my friend and for my brother that passed away in March due to COVID. Was not able to immediately have that type of celebration, and we were able to have it. And his brothers traveled from Tulsa, and what I mean by brothers, not his blood brothers, but we as a brotherhood, we traveled from Tulsa, we traveled from Texas, Cincinnati, Detroit, of course where I'm at in Ohio, Atlanta. We traveled to spend time with his family, his mom, his sister, his nieces, and his dad and stepdad. And we were just able just to fellowship and remember him. And I just want to spend a quick moment just to talk about, I know I've talked about friendship before in one of my podcast episodes, Faith of a Friend. And friendship is something that is very sacred to me. Covenant is something with a friend, is something that's very sacred to me. And in losing that friend, it was still struggling with it. However, I will say that this weekend was closure. Starting the healing process or continuing the healing process, but you need some type of closure to that situation. It's never going to sit right. However, to be able to be with a group of people, be able to laugh, tell stories and things of that nature, it was very good and it was much needed. Being to let his mom know that, you know, we're here for her. We're going to just take turns and sporadically call her, just let her know that we're still there, go by and visit her, visit the family, visit her sister, his sister, love her to life, love me some her. She know who she is. I'd stay away from saying people's government names on my podcast because never know who's looking for somebody. And, you know, I don't have those legal releases just yet. But just want to let her know I love her and his nieces. Love them to life. Met one of his nieces' friends. So just gave him a little interrogation just to let him know that, you know, she has uncles around the country who are willing to protect her at all costs. But he seemed like he's a good dude. He said he loved her without hesitation. I told him that's all I can ask for. And just let him know that we're here as a resource if they need us and everything like that. But it was just a wonderful weekend just to be able to laugh, cry, joke, tell stories, and just see the family celebrate his life. So just want to say I love you, bruh. You will always be in my prayers. You will always be in my thoughts. You have transitioned to the next plane, to the next realm, to the next dimension, or whatever you want to call it, whatever your belief system is. When it comes to death, you have transcended that. You are always and will always be a wonderful life. And just know that we got your back. We got your family. We're here for them. And whether it's one person or collectively, somebody will, as God continues to have breath in our lungs, they will always be protected. They will always have somebody there that will be there for them. So I just want to say I love you. Love your family. And we will be seeing you, or I'll be seeing you and talking to you soon. So that was my weekend. However, it took a toll. It took a toll on me because there's still some, you know, unresolved things in our friend group, and pretty much deals with me. I'm that one friend in the friend group who's not scared to speak up. I'm that one friend in the friend group who's not scared to say what's on his mind. Not to say that everybody else isn't, because I know when people say that, it can give the connotation that, you know, there's other people don't. But I'm that guy that does. And so there's some things that we have to resolve. Me and a couple of people have to resolve. But I just thank God for their safety, for their health, for their family, for everybody that's, you know, in our group. I always will pray for you. I always will love you. And if you ever need me, I'm always a phone call away. With that being said, I'm always going to do what I feel is right. And that's my life in general. I'm always going to do what I believe is right. And it's never to, how can I word this? It's never to say that you're wrong. I know in the past, in my life, I was very judgmental in my younger days. And I'm going to address that later on in the podcast. But I'm not that dude, you know, but I'm going to call it like I see it. And I'm going to come straight down the street. And a lot of people don't like that. You know, I have this thing. Everybody love Ken until Ken show up. And Ken is always going to show up. Ken is always going to be himself. But this weekend taught me a lot. This weekend showed me a lot. Still have a lot to process. Still have a lot of introspection that I have to do. We'll be talking this over with my therapist. Have an appointment this week. So I will definitely be anxious to share my thoughts and my perspective with my therapist and to see, you know, his feedback on it. So please make sure, again, if you need mental and emotional, you know, breaks, or you need mental and emotional checkups, please make sure you see a therapist. It is not normal to not be okay. Now, let me rephrase that. It's okay not to be okay. It's not normal to stay that way. That's how I want to say it. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not normal to stay that way. What else is going on out there? Now, this Kanye West situation is very interesting to me. And it's talking about the elections. And Kanye West had a meeting with Jared Kushner. It was a private meeting. Don't know what they talk about. I do not know what they talked about. Kanye did tweet that he's willing to do an exclusive interview with the New York Times. Said that they talked about Dr. Claude Anderson's books, Powernomics. They may have talked about that. I don't know. But this situation will lead me into my thought for today. And one of the things that has been said by Kanye West is that he wants to take votes away from Joe Biden. Now, I don't know if that was tongue in cheek. I don't know if he was serious in that. But this leads me to what my point I want to talk about today. And that was the announcement a couple days ago or yesterday that Kamala Harris will be the vice president, or Joe Biden selected her as his running mate for this ticket. So it's Trump and Pence versus Biden and Harris. And immediately on my timeline, through all my social media, it was a firestorm of congratulatory, and also, in my personal opinion, over criticizing Senator Harris or Ms. Harris. And I had to take a step back, and I want to make sure that I, you know, looked at what was being said, process, and be able to form my own opinion. And what I came away from is I really do attack two communities. That is the overly churchy folks and the super woke, or I like to call them the overly woke folk. And those two communities, in my observation of life, are never happy about what's going on unless it's done their way. So on one of my social media posts, I had enough. And so this is one of the reasons why I really don't debate as heavy as I used to, because I make things personal. And this is what I mean. So and I'm going to sum it up. But what I said was, you know, people, you know, the overly woke community, because I used to be a part of that community, because I know what it's like when you come into enlightenment. I do know that. And if you're not properly trained, that enlightenment can turn people off, because in your sharing of your knowledge, or of your information, because it's not knowledge, of your information, you can come off really arrogant when you sit back and you become hypercritical of the things around you. But one thing wisdom teaches you, and one thing when you have a good mentor and a good support group of elders, the first thing they'll do is calm your ass down. Good elders will calm your ass down, because there's a certain segment of life that you haven't just lived. And I'm so thankful for my mentor, Dr. Joseph Lewis, who's, you know, gone on to the next plane himself. And he was very intentional about when to release me to go and when to pull me back. And just over time, just taught me just about how do you advocate? How are you a revolutionary? How do you, you know, do stand up for our people? It's just the how. And this is going to get me to my overall point as it relates to Senator Harris, Kamala Harris. she is getting dragged by her own community. And it's very misfortunate. So in my post, I said, okay, this is what I want the overly woke community, because there are several of them on my page, in my circle, in my friend group circle, as far as social media, not my actual friends, but my social media circle. And I said, what I want you to do is I want you to put your resume in these comments, because I know you got a lot to say. Put your resume in this comment. And what I want you to do is say, how many businesses have you started in the Black community? How much money have you given to the Black community? How many children have you educated in the Black community? What legislation have you put together that you took to your local government to have push to help with the Black community? Tell me what initiatives that you come up with, or nonprofits that you come up with, that you started in the Black community and it's still going strong. Put your resume in the comments so that we can critique just like you're critiquing. So that we can say what you could be doing better versus just like you want to do with everybody else. And you know what I heard? Crickets. Not a single woke folk person said anything. And I know they read it. I know they did. Because there's a quote by Teddy Roosevelt that I live my life by. The credit doesn't belong to the critic. It's not the critic. Excuse me. It's not the critic that counts. The credit belongs to the man actually in the arena. And that's just it's a short version, but it's a much longer quote. And I use that quote, and that quote is one of those quotes that humbled me, because it is very easy to sit back and criticize people when you're not in the arena. When you're not in the arena. And this also goes to a linear or connected issue. Is that we have to address how we treat women, especially our women. So here's some numbers I got. It's a little outdated, but I still believe I couldn't find the updated version. But this is 2016, but I'm pretty sure that it's still the same, because actually I just couldn't find the site that I got the original information from. But this is from NCES.ed.gov, and these are facts about degrees and race. All right, the most educated person as a community is African Americans. We're the most educated. African American women from an associate's degree make up 67% have associate degrees, and 64% have bachelor's degrees. Let that sink in. So as a community, the African American woman is the most educated. Now, from another article that I read, or that I have, and it's the National Partnership for Women and Families. And I talked about, it's going to talk about the wage gap. And for Black women typically are paid 62 cents for every dollar paid by whites and non-Hispanic men. The median pay annually for a Black woman in the United States is $38,000. Now, there are certain other criteria that needs and nuances to the numbers that need to be factored in, and that is maternity leave and things of that nature. And I don't know what that does with pay grades. And I do know there are several sites and research that is really debunking or wanting to debunk the wage gap with women. But I don't believe that. I believe that there is a major wage gap with women, but there's also this thing with women that they are attacked. The most attacked woman is a woman of color. They're a double minority, and that's talking about Hispanic women, black women, Asian women, women from the Caribbean, of color. They're the most attacked socially. They're the most attacked in everything. And so for me, I think that one of the things that we have to come into a realization is our bias against women and how they feel like they can do the job. Now, the biggest thing that she gets critiqued on is her time as a prosecutor. So I want to briefly address that. And again, I just give out talking points for you to think about and go back and do your research. She was a prosecutor. Her job is to prosecute. Now, usually prosecutors, they come in. Now, this is the part I do know because I do work a little bit in the correctional industry, or have worked in the correctional industry. The prosecutor's job is to come in and build a case against a particular person. The defense, their job is to defend or to find evidence to support their client to say that they're not guilty or not responsible. Now, a lot of times the prosecutor and defense get together and they have deals, and it's give and take on both sides. But the primary job of a prosecutor is to prosecute. The primary job that they get paid for is the number of convictions that they have. Now, the nuance of that position is where people have a challenge with, because the overall talking point in the overly woke community is how many black men she put in prison. Now, let's look at that from a nuanced standpoint. First and foremost, people have free will and choice. So whoever that she was brought before her with these particular crimes, she prosecuted. Or she got evidence to prosecute them. But the people who make the arrests are the police, not the prosecutor. The laws that these men fall up under, and many of them could have been nonviolent drug offenses, that's not the prosecutor's job. That goes down to what legislation or what laws are passed. The judge and the jury are the ones who actually decide the fate. Only thing the prosecutor does is bring information to say they want this sentence, but it's still up to the judge and the jury. So if the prosecutor doesn't make a good case, the judge and the jury, they don't support it. Now, do prosecutors and judges, you know, are they in bed together? And I'm not talking literally, but I'm talking about, yes, that's part of the nuance of the job. But what about the laws and the lack of funding in those communities where these men didn't have other choices but to sell drugs? Or or the redlining and all those other things. There's a lot of flaws in the system before it got to Kamala Harris. And so she is a part of the cog in the machine. And I'm not saying that she can't be, what's the word I'm wanting to look for? That she can't, there can't be opinions on her, or there could things that we could have wanted different in that position. Maybe there were some policy changes that she could have implemented. I don't know. I mean, there's probably some new things that she could do, but when she became a chance to make change, she did with reform. She did do it, but she's not getting credit for that. And so was she the best choice? I don't know. But why is it that we can give everybody, and this is my real critique of the overly woke folk, is the fact that you spend more time criticizing black people instead of uplifting them than you do white people. You do that. So is that your only job, just to talk about us? We are not perfect. We're not a monolithic group of people, so we're not perfect. But we don't get a chance to make mistakes. And so it was very frustrating. And I call people on the carpet all the time on BS. You can present all that information, but however old you are, and I'm talking to my age group, I'm talking to Generation X. So many of you are in your mid to late 30s, mid to late 40s. So in 40 years, what have you done for your people? In 30 years, what tangible outcomes have you done for your people? And if you haven't, shut the fuck up, flat out. Just shut up, because you the worst type of nigga. For real. Rats, rapists, and niggas that don't do shit. Like, y'all the three first worst people in the hood, man. Always got something to say. Always got something. Always want to run your mouth. And I'm tired of it, man. Let's see what she do. And one thing I will say, and it was a good piece. It's an article, excuse me, by NPR. And it talked about this particular selection. And one thing I can say, I will say this, and I will give Joe Biden this credit. Because I when she got selected, I said, things has just got interesting. Because there were some things that she said that, in my personal opinion, and this may show my immaturity, I couldn't select her as a running mate because of how she went at his neck. I mean, once you start, you know, talking about you being a racist, and I think I even put that on my social media, is that I don't think that's a good ticket, just from that particular exchange that they had. With that being said, it shows maturity. And it shows that, hey, you said these things about me, but hey, this is the best way we can, I believe you the best person I can bring into a fight with me. And I got to respect Joe for that. That's just on some street stuff. I got to respect him, because I'm not going to lie, I couldn't have done it. And it's nothing against her as a person, but there's just certain things you can't say to me. And then we go, I just can't do it. And so, hey, I'm happy for this ticket. I wish them the best. I'm very interested to see what type of agenda they have. I want to shout out Ice Cube too, and his contract with Black America. I was able to sit down and read that document. It is a great start. It is a wonderful start by Ice Cube and Chris Broussard. I want to give him a shout out. You know, give credit where credit is due. Chris Broussard, you know, he is a very well-read individual. I believe he's from Cleveland, too. So shout out to the city. I'm proud of him, proud of Ice Cube, and proud of everybody who, you know, had a chance to put that document together. And what I like what Ice Cube said is that he's going to take it to the candidates, or he's going to take it to political, you know, as a document, because it is a working document. But it's something that we as a community can go around and say, you know, where do I fit within this particular document? And one thing I love that Ice Cube said is that, you know, he got people in the room that's smarter than him. He was humble enough to say that, and he uses his influence and star power to be able to push it. But I hopefully that, you know, Biden and Harris will be able to look at this. I'm really not feeling Trump at all. So whether he reads it or not, I don't care, but I guess I should, because as a group, we do need to leverage our voting power and what candidates will be able to meet our needs. And so hopefully all the candidates can look at this particular contract, and that we can have a grass, you know, connect with other grassroots organizations to be able to push this particular agenda. But I want to go back. Congratulations, Senator Harris, or Kamala Harris. I'm proud of you. Shout out to the ladies at Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Shout out to Howard University. Shout out to HBCUs. You know, I know they're proud, but we want to make sure that the work is just now beginning. Please, everybody, get out and vote. Please make your vote count. If you don't vote, just like I said before, shut the fuck up. You ain't really got nothing to say. You don't have any sweat in the game. Sorry, Ma, I was cussing on this one. Can't help it, but enough is enough. So please get out there. Please vote. please make sure you listen to the debates. Please make sure you actually read the issues. Please make sure that the agenda for Black America, if you're supporting of that, please make sure you look at Ice Cube's contract with Black America. I'll go ahead and put the tag when I post so that everybody can read that document and get involved. So with all that being said, I want to thank you so much again for joining me today. Please make sure you have a safe time out there. Please make sure that you are staying safe, your family, your friends. Please pray for me. Please pray for my family. And hey, let's each day do a better job than we did the day before. And as always, please follow me on all my social media platforms, which is Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Ken's Corner. And also on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. And as always, I end this. I love, I trust, and I respect you. This is Ken of Ken's Corner Podcast. Peace out.